Hey friends, this is Dr. Donnie, and you are listening to the Get Balanced Podcast. This is the Life Scan Learning Lab Edition, and episode 133 with my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, folks, welcome to another great show here with Life Scan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced Podcast. And I am Dr. Donnie, and with my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc, also the Chief Strategy Officer of Life Scan Wellness Centers. And Todd, it's always great to have you on doing co-host with you and you bringing me along for the ride and get to meet so many of your colleagues and friends out there. And we've got quite another one for today that we're recording. So let me kick it right over to you and we'll get the show started.
Thanks, Donnie. It's, as always, great to collaborate with you. I always learn pearls of wisdom from your insight and your experience, and it's just fun to work together. So glad to be back at it, and I'm really excited today. We've got another special guest. I think it's going to be a great interview and a treat for me to be able to have a good dialogue today with a colleague and friend I've known for a long time through the IFC. And we've got Chief Donna Black who's with us today. So Donna, I want to first of all thank you for taking time out of your schedule to spend a little time with our audience and our listeners.
Thank you for the opportunity to be with you guys today and looking forward to it.
Thank you much. Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we start by, you know, Donnie always reminds me before we tape that we've got hundreds and hundreds of listeners throughout the United States. But also we have an international audience as well that listens to the podcast. So why don't, if we could, why don't we just start, if you would, tell us a little bit about yourself, particularly your journey of how you get into the fire service, where that's taken you. I know for our listeners that are out there, you currently serve as the first vice president of the IFC. And in a couple of weeks, Donnie and I will be out in FRI in San Antonio. We'll look forward to seeing you sworn in as the incoming IFC president. But for our listeners, just start by kind of painting a picture of how you get involved in the service and where that's taking you.
Sure. So I'll start now with, I am currently the fire chief in Duck, North Carolina. It's a small combination department. For those of you that out there that don't know where Duck is, it's on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. So if you look at a map and there's this little ribbon of sand on the coast of the Outer Banks, that's called the Outer Banks, obviously. And it's a little town. We're 2.32 square miles. So my journey to here, I came on vacation almost 30 years ago and was living here within a year. I just loved it. I had to be on the Outer Banks. I actually opened a business with a friend of mine to come to the Outer Banks. And I was running one day and one of the volunteer captains happened to catch up with me and say, hey, you're athletic, you're running, you want to join our volunteer fire department. So I'd always had a little bit of interest with, I grew up in the era of emergency, so that dates me completely. So the EMT piece definitely intrigued me. I never really thought of fire specifically. And I ended up joining. Within a month, they put me in a little training burn and I was hooked. So I had this parallel life of working, and a lot of the volunteers at that time in this department had jobs here in Duck or owned businesses, and then they volunteered with the fire department. So we didn't have that many calls back then. Fire alarm goes off, you know, we'd all leave our jobs and go do what we needed to do for the community. So, but I got the bug right away. So I started taking everything. So I worked my way up to volunteer deputy chief here. And over a period of time, I ended up hiring this deputy chief to work for me, but he kept trying to get me to apply to as a career job down the beach. And I'm like, no, I'm doing great, doing what I'm doing here, and I have my business. And then finally, I made the switch. I said, I want to do this as a career. So I ended up going through the process down the beach for a little while, but I was the volunteer deputy chief up here. And in that time, we went through a couple fire chiefs. And then finally, I was encouraged to apply back up here. When I was hired, I was the only career position. It was all volunteer and me. And now there's 14 of us on staff. We have 6 or 7 part-timers and then volunteers. So in my time in the small little community, which is a huge tourist destination, we're now at a pretty thriving combination department with a lot more responsibilities and activities outside of just putting water on a fire. So that's my journey. I never thought of it. When I decided to run for second VP, I had some colleagues help me. We sat in a room, it was virtual. And the first question a friend of mine asked was, well, when was the first time you think you rescued someone? Like they were trying to get to the heart of why are you a firefighter? That's for another podcast, but I was 10. And I'm like, I had never really thought of it that way. So I think it was always in there. I think for a lot of us, it's in there, right? It's just, when does it come out? How does it come out? So that's a little background to how I got to here.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I tell Donnie all the time, it's a treat for me to do these interviews because first of all, I'm usually on the other side of the microphone. So it's fun getting to talk to people, but even folks that, you know, I've known and thought I've known them well for 30, you know, plus years, you always sometimes learn something you didn't know. So, you know, certainly for our listeners out there, there's a whole generation of emergency squad 51, engine 51. I remember carrying a little lunchbox with my Rampart radio inside and phone to call in. But today it's probably Chicago Fire it's along that line, but you know, that's amazing to me. How you almost accidentally on a jog on the beach, get into the fire service. You know, we had John Butler, both of our colleague on last week, and he was talking about his kind of accidental journey that he dropped a friend off for testing at the department and get hoodwinked into taking the test and then get hooked. Uh-huh. So it's once you get that passion, I think it's hard to shake it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Donna, I know the listeners are thinking this question because I'm thinking it. What was your business that you started?
I had a bed and breakfast, actually. So a friend of mine wanted to come down here and do that. And they're like, hey, I need help. And it was so non-traditional the way we do it. Usually it's an elderly couple that have an old house that they renovate. And it was a friend and I that she had some money to invest basically with her mom, needed help. And we built one. So we came down here, built one, but I totally came down here thinking I was going to serve toast and a cup of coffee in the morning and play at the beach all day. It's a little different than that, but ended up being very successful business. Don't have it anymore. Haven't had it for a while. Life got a little busy with this, but I was doing breakfast, making beds, and being a firefighter for a period of time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I love that. That's great. Good stuff. Donna, let me ask you with your service. I know you've been active, you know, for years in IFC, and we run into you all the time at the VCOS symposium by the sea, and great conference. If our listeners haven't had the chance to attend, definitely something to consider. But now in your, you know, role that you're about to be sworn in, you know, an IFC, you know, has been around since the 1800s. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of twists and turns over the years as the fire service has evolved. And I just want to kind of ask you what your perspective is looking forward as you're sworn in. First of all, it's going to be, I was assumed, very humbling to lead, you know, a national, international organization of your peers. But what's from your perspective, do you have a focus looking at the direction with yourself and the board in leading IFC forward?
Sure. And I'm sure you'll hear some of this for those of you that will have the opportunity in San Antonio to hear from President Steubing and then, you know, hear from me after being sworn in. Like all of us, we've had a rough few years, right? Pandemic and, you know, the organization itself, we had to make some changes. And you know, within our own departments. But the work we've done over the last few years, I feel very good going into the next year. And we get in my term and with Chief Butler's term, who's next, we get to celebrate 150 years of the association. So that'll be exciting. The work we've done this year, some really critical introspection about where we are as an organization. Under Chief Steubing, he led our strategic planning efforts. I mean, we did that this spring, and it'll come forward definitely, hopefully, for approval at FRI, and then we will launch our initiatives soon after that. But it was a great opportunity for us to finally talk about what's next. You know, where do we want the association to go? It doesn't look the same. The fire service doesn't look the same. And it really took some time for all of us, and we had all stakeholders in the room over a couple of different sessions to try to figure out where do we want to go. So I'm really excited to be able to take the work that, you know, representatives of our membership have done to create a document that we will bring forward and see where we can take the association. I think for the first time in a few years, we can look forward and not just worry about what's happening right now or what happened before. I think what you'll hear from me and even in my comments is what's the next 150 look like? And that takes all of us. It's going to take the members of the association to help us guide that. But this document that will come out, I think, is a realistic, practical, and tangible document to see where we can take the association going forward. So I'm very excited to represent. And, you know, I'll say this in my speech too. I'm so honored and privileged to be in this position. But this is a team sport, right? You know, I am the figurehead for the year, but the board, our membership, the sections, the divisions, we all play into how we're going to be successful and where we go from here.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure like when you started in the service, in the world, really, I mean, so much has changed in dynamics and, you know, external forces, and who would think we'd be dealing with, you know, once a century global pandemic, civil unrest, all the challenges. And having been someone that's, you know, been very active and served on Safety, Health and Survival section for, God, I hate to admit this, almost two decades. You know, I think, you know, that sweet spot of, you know, it's a member driven organization, and making sure everyone's got input is really, you know, great to hear. You echo that. And I know, you know, the IFF, you know, has worked hard on with their membership and National Volunteer Fire Council. And, you know, I think there's a great opportunity to continue that robust IFC lead on many issues. So tremendous that we have members that came together for a strategic planning process. And I know having you at the helm for the next year will help guide that in the right direction, get us moving. I wanted to, you touched on the fire service doesn't look the same. you know, we had Chief, fellow board member and dear friend, you know, as well, Chief Joanne Rund, on this past week or so, and she's now at Baltimore County Fire, and we talked a little bit about women in the fire service. You know, and I know when I started, the numbers were, you know, single digit. I think the last number I saw from NFPA was maybe 8%. Or so of the both career and volunteer fire service is made up of female firefighters. But I just wanted to get your perspective for our listeners out there, and especially our female listeners that maybe already are in the service and wanting to advance, or are not in the service but thinking about a career. You know, you've obviously excelled both within your own department and your development, but also being sworn in as the IFC incoming president. It strikes me we still have a lot of work to do in terms of, you know, having a workforce that, you know, represents our communities. But I'm just curious what your thoughts would be on that, and any advice you may have for our women firefighters out there, or future women firefighters.
So I think we have a larger, and I'll come back to that. I think we need to do a better job, and I say that as an industry, right? I don't think we do a great job of marketing ourselves, right? And something I hope to bring forward in the coming months is how do we as an organization, because we're all trying individually, we're all doing recruitment retention. Those words are like how many classes are offered on R&R now, because we're all struggling with the same problem. And I think part of the problem is we're not in the advertising business, right? We're in the, you know, save people business. So I think it's difficult for us to message that this is a possibility. So regardless, as an industry, whether it's career or volunteer, I think we're struggling to find folks. I will tell you, in the county at 2 o'clock today, we're releasing a volunteer recruitment video that I helped coordinate through one of our live burn trainings. It's for the whole county, it's not for Duck. But we have our folks speak about how important it is for the community to come help us, even if they don't want to run in the burning building. So I think there's a messaging piece that's bigger than whether we need more males, females, or underrepresented groups. It's just we need more help. So that's one. Two, specifically looking at women in the fire service, they have to see role models. My journey, when I became a chief, when I became baby chief, that's what I used to say, I wanted help, right? So I reached out to a couple things, and I'll speak to it all day long. IFC, BCOS, DFO. And that one created a network, and it created opportunities. And I sought them, right? I had a mentor that said, you need to do EFO. I was already a member of IFC at that time, but and get out there and do. So it helps. Not everyone needs to be president of the IFC to show that women can be in the fire service, right? Write an article, do a presentation, write a local article. I think the more the possibilities seen that you can be in these roles, that's going to be our biggest recruitment tool. I struggle here. I live in a little town. You can pull the demographics that there's less than 1,000 people here. So I get asked all the time, how do you create a diverse workforce within your department? I have to be realistic to my community. Do I represent my community? Absolutely. Do I represent the United States? No, right? Because I just don't have that level of diversity. But the other piece I really push, and I've pushed over the years with my council, is we know we love the service, right? But not everyone wants to be this. So our numbers of recruitment already are decreased because not everyone wants to do this. And then within those that want to do it, I don't know that we're going to be 50% male and female, right? Because I just think you got to want to do this too. And so I think those are our struggles, but I think we have to create more awareness and marketing that shows it's possible, because I think that's where the gap is right now.
So Donna, I like your term about the messaging piece of, you know, it's looking at it as from that perspective. When we think of messaging and the words, I heard you say success earlier in the show, is there's a myth out there that I think runs rampant in many different industries, but definitely in the fire service as well as law enforcement, and really just about every industry out there when it comes to careers, is that there seems to be a myth a lot of times that we need to choose success between either work or home, or work and our health. And I'm out there trying to conduct workshops and do presentations to say, let's bust that myth, you know, to truly find success in our human life. I think we need to find success in all areas of our lives. What are your thoughts about that?
You're spot on. And I totally could use a one-on-one session with you, because I will tell you, I have struggled with that balance, right? You could say, oh, look at everything you've done and you're successful, but at what price, right? You know, how many times did my family that doesn't live here come down and visit, and I'm like, I gotta work, or I have to take these, I'm going to these calls, I'm not gonna get them covered. I think it's so important, and I know that now. I can say that now, you know, 27 years in. I wish I'd had more balance. And you all already interviewed John Butler, but we talked about work-life balance one day, so I have to give him credit for this line. He goes, it's not work-life balance, it's work-life integration. Because balance suggests 50-50 in our profession. I think it's difficult to have it be 50-50 sometimes. So I always love that he said that. And I actually carry that, and I've shared it with my folks here. It's so important. And I hope I'm showing that with our department, the importance of that. it because I didn't do a good job of that balance. I'm better now. I love to golf. I kayak fish. I definitely make more time for myself, but I really push that with our folks to make sure that they have that balance. And that's from lessons learned.
Yes. Oh, that is great. And I agree. Work-life integration and work. Usually I talk with people, I say, you know, balance for me or what I, in my research, what I do, it's simply, are your daily behaviors in alignment with your priorities in life? That's how I define it, right? Whether you call it integration or work-life harmony, we have, you know, a lot of different things out there that we can go with, but it's really, and you mentioned that you are a runner. So health obviously was a big factor for you in your career as well.
Yes.
And something that Todd speaks on every day is the health and wellness of firefighters.
Right.
So that's such a big piece is that, and I think that, you know, as you say, we're spot on. It's that messaging that, hey, you can have a great family life. You can have great health and wellness and all that mental health, physical health, and all aspects of health. And you can advance up to as high as you want to go, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And, it's so important though. It's all of it. Right. And the mindfulness around it, because I have changed my patterns knowing I'm going into this position for the year. And I know it's going to be like two full-time jobs for a year. I've created different behaviors even for myself in the last few months in anticipation of what's going to happen. I'm not an early morning exerciser. I'm an early morning exerciser now, right? Like I'm trying to create, because I don't want to lose that, you know, wake up a year from now and be like, what happened to Chief Black? so I'm really very mindful of trying to find that balance, knowing I'm going to probably be a little out of balance this year, just because of the amount of work. So,
And
I was like, our listeners out there that aren't familiar with service as IFC president, it's, you know, it's been described as a blur that goes by over the course of a year. But you really, you know, become the national ambassador for the chiefs across, you know, the globe. So I'm glad to see you're already prioritizing your wellness and your balance as you go through. I know you'll find that sweet spot. No doubt will be challenging, but it's good that you're already on top of that a couple months before you get sworn in. So great stuff. I want, Don, if you could talk a little bit, you brought up EFO and that being a resource. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, we had Eric Gablix on, and Eric talked about, you know, all the umbrella of the National Fire Academy. But it strikes me, and I'll just use my department. I mean, I grew up in a career metro department of 800 and some odd firefighters. And I don't think we probably utilized as much as we could have or should have the resource of the National Fire Academy. Can you just talk about maybe even your experience and the importance of that for developing future leaders?
Sure. So I definitely drank the Kool-Aid there. You know, my mentor's like, you need to get into EFO. And, you know, I'm like, I'm just trying to get into being chief at this point. And I was a little hesitant to take on something else. But so I went through the EFO program and it did this for me. One, the networking is amazing, right? You spend a lot of time with basically colleagues going through the same stuff. But I tell you what those papers did for me. And I spoke about this not too long ago. I forgot where at this point, but my first paper. So you get there and you do your first paper and it's basically a thesis, right? And no one had ever looked at duck fire and looked at the data at all, right? So I hadn't seen trends. I hadn't seen anything. I was the deputy chief here, but the admin side of things was not the focus, if you will. The data was not the focus. It was, you know, responding to calls and training. So my first paper was like 100 pages. You know, I was a little overzealous. Trust me, they went down from there. You can see them in the library. It was like 100 pages. I did get a 4.0.
Doctoral thesis.
But what I did is I looked at everything. I'm like, I need to know everything today because I didn't know where the fire department was. So to that, I still use that data that I have now data from my first EFO paper. I use it every year in our annual meetings with the council and every month with the council. I trend all our stuff. super helpful in getting positions and getting equipment. So I will forever thank EFO for using the data, which I know several people out there will be happy I'm using that word data. What did it do? It set me up for really appreciating what NFA can do for you, the networking piece and all. So I will tell you, most of my department, some of our newer folks who just hired have not been yet, but we try to send, and we're a small department, I send our folks whenever we can. You know, post-COVID here, we got to get back in line. But the command and control classes, we've gone to other stuff, but we really push here, getting to the Fire Academy, expanding their network and just what they have to offer. So a big supporting fan because I saw how it really helped me.
Great. And for our listeners out there, what a national treasure it is. We have this beautiful campus,
yes.
You know, with EFO just being one small slice of the
absolutely
of the education. And like you said, the networking, those are relationships that you keep for a lifetime. So if you're not familiar with National Fire Academy, I'd encourage our listeners out there to take a look. It's paid for by
yes.
United States Fire Administration. And, you know, there's a great opportunity, no matter where you are in your career, at what level, to make that a tremendously positive learning and mentoring experience. So check that out. I know we had a session with Eric Gablix on this, as I mentioned, and but if you didn't catch that one and you just heard what Chief Black, you know, her personal experience and how valuable it is at not only the individual level, but the department level. So please, I encourage everyone. Donna, I want to be mindful of your time. I know we try to keep, you know, the interviews right around a half an hour or 40 minutes for our listeners as well. You've kind of shared a diverse journey with us today of everything from running a B&B and being a small business owner to how you get involved in the fire service and how you've progressed and now you know, you've got the perspective of serving on the IFC board for several years and now coming in as president. We've got listeners from all walks of their journey of their career listening. And I know this is probably difficult to ask you just to pick one, but if you could just pick one pearl of wisdom, whether that be personal, professional, or some blend of the two, to give to those in our audience that are listening, wisdom that you've learned along the way, what would you think that would be?
So I'll say this. I didn't look at being 10 years old or 20 years old and say, I'm going to be a firefighter, I'm going to be a chief, or I'm going to be president of the IFC. Like that was never an intentional thought in my head at the time. I trust my gut. I'm an instinctive learner. I followed my gut a lot. And so if I had to say one thing, one, follow your gut and do it. Try. Don't let your head think I can't. I don't have enough experience. I don't have this. If you're feeling it, if you're passionate about it, go for it. Pretty simple, but that's really been how I've lived. I didn't intentionally seek out with a thought like I'm going to do this. It just kind of naturally came to me and, oh, I think I'll try this. And I was willing to put the effort in.
Yeah. You know, that is, you know, powerfully simple, I would say. Right. I mean, it seems so simple, but you know, sometimes you just have to go with, you know, the gut instinct you have or that tug at your heart, knowing that this is, you know, the direction you want to go. Sometimes I know I find myself overanalyzing things from every different, you know, 360 vantage point of looking at, you know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. But sometimes you can do that to an extreme. So I think that's great, you know, guidance and advice for those coming up, particularly, you know, those just getting into the service or deciding, do they want to get into the service? So thank you. Thank you for sharing. I know that was a loaded question. That's, you know, always one that I worry about catching people off guard with, but, you know, we've had, including yourself, such tremendous wealth of wisdom that has given up a block of their time to come on and be interviewed. And I really think, you know, that the insight that you've gained over, you know, many years and other colleagues that have come on and shared their wisdom benefits our listeners tremendously out there. So I'm a big believer in don't recreate the wheel if you don't have to, you know, take those that have gone before and learn from their experiences. So I want to first of all wish you well and congratulate you again for your journey and congratulate you for being sworn in shortly as the IFC president. I'm going to look forward to continuing to work with you. And, you know, if there's anything health and safety related, I'm always up for whatever we can do to continue to enhance firefighter health and safety and wellness. But thanks for who you are and what you do. And I look forward to Donnie and I are both going to be co-presenting out at FRI again this year. So we'll look forward to seeing you there. And I'm sure between Donnie and myself, we'll look to have you back on for version 2.0. We just scratched the surface of no doubt a lot of issues today. So, but thanks for taking the time. It'll be a challenge to corral you the next year for an interview, but we'll do our best and look forward to seeing you in Texas shortly.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thanks for what you all are doing too, to, you know, talk to a lot of people, get messaging out. That work-life balance piece, I hope I did a better job with my firefighters than I've done for myself. So I appreciate your time and thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.